This is an Enterprise Times podcast. My name is Ian Murphy. I'm here at Epicor Insights 2017. I'm talking with Lisa Pope.
Hi, my name is Lisa Pope. I joined Epicor approximately 3 months ago, and I run the Americas for Epicor.
You have a long history of building cloud, particularly at Infor, where you came from. Epicor is now moving itself towards cloud. Only 2% at the moment customers there, but the push and all the money and the investment has gone into moving this company to be a cloud-first enterprise. What is it that you're bringing here, and what challenges do you see?
Well, I think, first of all, when I look at my track record and the companies that I came to prior, not only did I focus in and run the cloud business for Infor, I also was at QAD while QAD was also making the move and helping their customers transition to the cloud. When I look at Epicor, although it is 2% in terms of the base right now, that's not surprising given the customer base here is largely manufacturing. If you look at where Infor had success, for the most part, it was outside of the manufacturing base. They're a little bit slower to move. The mission-critical nature of global manufacturing dictates a little bit of caution. Also, I think the big challenge for many of them is they're not comfortable in a true multi-tenant environment because they are concerned about potential customizations or upgrade schedules. What's great about Epicor, and one of the major reasons I came here, is that Epicor's product really does give manufacturers more flexibility when they look at deployment. So we do have a true multi-tenant product that we can put in the cloud. We obviously continue to run manufacturing on-premise. Customers can mix and match. And then as you heard today, we also launched dedicated tenancy, which gives a little bit more of the best of both worlds. So customers can have a little bit more flexibility, make a little bit more decisions on their upgrades, et cetera. But I think the potential here at Epicor is huge. And now what I'm going to be doing is working on a program to start really enabling the sales teams, educating the sales teams. I'm actually bringing a leader over of cloud that'll be joining here in a few weeks. And that person will really help work inside of Epicor to ensure that just from a training perspective, from an infrastructure perspective, and from a go-to-market perspective, we're really moving on all cylinders.
One of the things I was surprised not to hear today was hybrid cloud. If we look at manufacturing, one of the fears is if the internet goes down, they're not going to be able to talk from the back office, the design systems, through to the manufacturing equipment. That's one of the reasons they've kept equipment on site in the factory level. Do you see hybrid cloud as the next step after dedicated, or at the moment is that something that's still being discussed?
No, absolutely. We could certainly deploy in a hybrid environment today. I think the focus of today, maybe we didn't cover that as strongly because the focus was really on announcing the dedicated tenancy. But I think many customers, especially if they've got global sites and plants, the adoption for cloud may be different in those countries. They may feel more comfortable. And so that ability to go hybrid is certainly there.
The way that Epicor has structured its primary targets is interesting, very different to a lot of the rest of the industry. That means it has a lot of overlap with its product into the sectors that it's looking at. How does it build products then from a cloud perspective and deploy them? Because historically, the clouds out there are focused on one sector, then another sector. They're not cross-sector.
We are seeing those industries merge. So we are seeing distributors wanting to do light manufacturing. We see manufacturers wanting to make sure that they're doing some kind of e-commerce direct to their ultimate customer. We do have very distinct products for our three verticals, though, and all three of those verticals then are at different stages of the cloud readiness and cloud acceptance in those verticals. So the products are pretty separated. What we really bring to the table is the ability for a customer, our knowledge of those three verticals and industries affects their supply chain. So we can bring best practices, or in this case, you know, if you look at what happened to retail, we've talked about how many brick and mortar retailers got left behind. So we can use retail as an example with our manufacturing companies to say, look, you've got to rethink your industry because if you don't, look what happened in retail in a matter of a few years.
How do you balance the acceleration of technologies? Retail is a good example. We've seen some organizations rush ahead with iBeaconing. We've seen others take a step backwards and really just concentrate on the website and pushing it out. Manufacturers are kind of caught in between. Some of them want to completely disintermediate the channel. They want to be from raw material right the way through to the customer. But at the same time, they've still got people they've got to supply and distribution. Can you deliver that spread of products quickly, or is it now about taking a step back from Epicor's perspective, looking at what is important first up and building a series of products over a number of years?
The strategy varies a little bit by vertical, but certainly with manufacturing, with E10, we have a very complete product. When you look at some of the additional cross-sell capability we have, like ECC, our e-commerce product, in that case, that manufacturer can go straight through. Same thing with distribution. Our distributors can also use that product, so they've got the ability to do that. On the retail side, our focus has really been more on Main Street retail. We look at new opportunities for that marketplace because they're trying to distinguish themselves more at a service level, getting to know their customers locally, maybe delivering those products to their customer, taking extra care, being at more of the local events, sponsoring local events. So it's a very different model than maybe a big brand retailer. We're looking at those nuances differently and really ensuring with our retail cloud product, which we're really starting to develop and work on now, that we look at those nuances and adjust as we need to. But our goal is to continue to have three main verticals, a series of products within those verticals that address the needs of the customer spaces that we're going after, but then having those horizontal products that can overlap all three where appropriate.
It was noticeable this morning there's a lot of focus on the UX and the alignment of the UX across all of the products that were on stage today, very much akin to what Hook and Loop did over at Infor. Is that something you brought over and said we need to start doing, or was that process already underway when you arrived?
No, Epicor has been, I think, very much focused on improving the user experience for a while. And I think because their products were cloud ready, that became important from the beginning. And I think that's been a charter. I think the difference is Hook and Loop was really designed more as a way to do custom front end apps. And I think that has also played in well with the digital transformation because it was almost the power of imagination. What can you do? The challenge with that, though, is we really want to ensure our customers aren't just putting on the pretty face without really redoing the plumbing. Otherwise, I used this example before, but a $3,000 faucet on old plumbing doesn't make the water come out any faster or any hotter. I think you're seeing here with Epicor is really thinking about that whole process with the integrated application and ensuring that that's built in from the ground up.
Many of those legacy customers are going to have to come to a standardized platform. That's going to be quite a challenge for them because they'll have their own processes, things they've done for not just 1 or 2 years, but in some cases this is going to be 1 decade, 2 decades, 3 decades of process. That's quite a challenge when it comes to getting people to rethink where they are. How much effort is going to have to go in from Epicor's side into engaging with those customers, and what challenge does that give the professional services teams?
Well, I think it's a great point. Migrations and conversions, as you heard today, are really a top priority for us. In the past, they've been viewed as too complicated, too complex. Customers are very nervous about moving to that next version. So over the past year, there's been a lot of focus as just a pilot, really, is this version 9 to 10 for our ERP and manufacturing, and really looking at those bases and understanding what capabilities they do need and ensuring that upgrade was much easier. First of all, you're going to see more automation there so that we take the work out of the upgrade. That makes it easier. And then I think from a process perspective, we're working with professional services to really implement best practice implementation accelerator. So instead of going to a customer and saying, hey, you're going to give this up and it's something that you've used forever, it's more like saying, no, these are the best ways to do this for your industry, and therefore there's better business benefit. Our platform is flexible enough that you still can tailor and configure the software so that if there are specific things that are important to your business, you can do that without changing the code. We really are wanting to move our base over as vanilla as we possibly can so that they can continue to get the benefit of new features and capabilities and products. I'm going to talk a little bit tomorrow about a new customer engagement program that we're going to be launching here at Epicor, but part of that will be getting into our customers more regularly, really understanding how they are leveraging the software that they bought today, what they're not leveraging. So on average, customers are using less than 30% of the features and capabilities. Some of that is because they haven't upgraded on a regular basis, so they just get further and further behind. In other cases, it might be because the person who knew the system left, and now they've got a new person who only knows how to do half of what the old person did. But regardless, it's our job and our responsibility, really, as a software provider, to help our customers better leverage and get a better return on what they've bought. And then out of that, yes, over a 2 to 3 year roadmap, we'd like them to consider upgrading. But we also know that's sensitive. That's a project. There's resources. We've got to help manage that and help that customer. What I'm excited to hear about at Epicor is a lot of focus on tools and automation to help our base migrate. And then, of course, when they migrate, they have the option to go to the cloud. For us, that would be the time to do it because then you're not having to buy hardware. You don't have to worry about the fact that your IT guy doesn't know the new system as well. So it really becomes a perfect storm for them to start to consider maybe now is the time to consider going to the cloud.
Looking at that cloud move and listening to what you're saying about the amount customers use of software, this has always been a challenge. One of the things we've seen with some cloud products is they've actually decoupled a lot of the components so that customers don't actually get this large wealth of features. Actually, they start with a core set and then they just pull in the bits they want, and it's a straight configuration thing. They just tick a box and that feature is now added. I know it's tough asking this question after all the money that Epicor has just poured into go to cloud, but is that part of the plan to start to decouple some of this feature that is sitting there so that customers can choose what they want? It doesn't make it more difficult for upgrade because these are just configuration boxes. It's not customization, but it does make them feel that they're actually using what they paid for as opposed to paying for something and then looking and being told, well, you're only using 30%, which is never what any customer wants to hear.
With Epicor, because the way our products are, they are, whether you want to say a smaller footprint or a more specialized by vertical, we don't have that issue as much. Obviously, some of the larger ERP companies, tailoring and configuring that down to industries is key. Otherwise, the amount of software is overwhelming. For the most part, our software is focused enough that that's not as much of an issue in terms of configuring, but it still means from a deployment perspective, a customer may choose to deploy certain pieces first. And then I think that is an important piece, this idea of iterative, where you're literally looking at smaller waterfall projects instead of these big bangs. Let's get up, let's be able to order, ship, bill, and close the books before we can necessarily do all these other things, so at least we're getting that value.
We heard about APIs today. APIs are critical if you're going to do digital transformation, because that's all about the automation. It's all about tying to other people's solutions. However, the customer base that you're working with is a small to mid-sized base. They don't tend to have large IT teams. Many, they won't have much of an IT team at all. And the target sell is more to the business than it is to what IT resource they have. How do you start to offload for these customers that digital transformation to make it easier for them, not just to integrate with their own supply chain and their own sales chain going forwards, but also when they're part of somebody else's larger chain?
Well, I think the APIs also help Epicor decide and actually help us come up with the right ecosystem for our products that our customers may want. We don't expect our customers to have to always have that technical capability. For the most part, we want to simplify things for the customer. And I think that's kind of the beauty of SaaS. What software as a service does do for the small and mid customers is it takes the complexity out. They don't have to worry about hardware or integration or any of those pieces. They don't have to worry about planning for upgrades. That is built in and it's automated. For me, because we have such a strong base in that mid-market and SMB, as manufacturing starts to accept more and more on cloud, I really think Epicor's base will move very quickly because of the complexity.
Lisa, thank you very much.